It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back.
Winning five of the games that we tricked off, I think Emes talked about it. We feel like we have some games in hand this year that we wish we had back. And if we had those, we're probably there. Hopefully we take another step next year and all our young players get better and some of those games that were at the margin become, you know, that were really close and end up being coin flips, and maybe we lost some coin flips this year. Some of those they're not and we hold on to leads or whatever, and just, you know, I that alone hopefully would get us better if we don't regress in other areas.
That was Rafael Stone. We had a caller earlier, well, in the last segment, asked how close are the Rockets to being a play-in playoff team. And if they hadn't tricked off five games, according to Rafael Stone, they would have been there. Now, Sean and I, Billy, we see you. We'll get to you here. Sean and I were talking during the break and saying, is he the only GM in the city who's saying tricked off about anything? And I think the answer is yes. And I think
I don't know the Dynamo think, or Dash.
You think Pat Onstad is saying tricked off?
I don't know.
The former Dynamo goalie?
I'm not familiar with this game.
I am familiar enough because his name's Pat that he's not saying tricked off. Not saying it.
What, you don't think Pat White would say it?
Maybe. But
exception that proves the rule.
Yeah, that's... You pulled a guy out who's named Pat. Maybe Patrick Beverly would say it too, but it didn't go by Pat. He goes by Patrick. Pat Onstad, the former Dynamo goalie, and now I think he's a GM or he's an executive there who makes decisions.
You know, we've been tricking off.
We've been tricking off for 3 years, and now we're pretty good. And I don't think he's saying that. Okay. I think Rafael Stone is the only one. I think he considered it as he was listening to the question. Can I get tricked off here? Hey, I'm going to try it.
I wonder if it depends who asks him the question.
You think if Fagan asks him the question, he's not saying tricked off?
I think he feels, you know, more comfortable with, I'll just say, a younger face.
Yeah.
That's not Jackson Gatlin.
Wow.
No disrespect, just...
But a little disrespect.
No, actually no disrespect.
No disrespect, okay. Jackson used to be an intern here.
Yeah, no, yeah. But maybe he feels more comfortable saying to Kelly, who was also an intern.
Kelly, that's true. We've provided a lot of Rockets media. I'm not saying we were the reason they became that, but there's
Rockets Media U. That's what they call it.
There's Kelly, there's Jackson. I don't want to butcher his names. Is it Salman Ali? Is that another one? And then there's a one other guy too who spent time here as an intern who's now part of Rockets Media. We've done a great service to the city of Houston.
You're welcome.
Making those guys work for free and then they go do something else.
Hey. You never know. The kid that's answering your – well, today it's me answering
your Yeah, you're the kid calls. Answering the phones, yeah.
But on other days, the kid answering your phone might be asking a question to Rafael Stone.
Yeah, so don't answer. So don't yell at our interns because at some point you're going to be reading their stuff on The Athletic. Yeah. Don't do it. Then how bad would you feel yelling at our interns? But Billy
– paying $2 a month to read their stuff.
Yeah, you're going to be paying them to read their stuff after yelling at them about not getting on the air, which has nothing to do with them. It's all about the people hosting the show. But Billy wants to talk about the Rockets. What's up, Billy?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I want to say RIP to the Rockets season. Also want to throw shade at the previous caller. You should probably check your girl or boyfriend's DMs. Also, hashtag free Raheezy.
Did Ryan just call in again? Just so he could respond to someone questioning his ability with women? I mean, I don't mind some
just
of it.
Say check her DMs.
Yeah.
Like he's Drake. Like,
yeah. Who are you? Is that how you operate? You just slide into DMs and see what you can get? Billy. You can't even use your real name. You ain't got no Riz. Beat it. That's another thing that Rafael Stone would try. Riz.
When would that ever come up?
I think he would, if someone was talking about, hey, you Jalen's really taking steps as a leader. Yeah, he's got a lot of Riz. There's no way I don't know when he would say it, but if any GM would, it would be him.
Maybe if his wife came up.
Nick Casario.
If his wife came up and he's like, you know, a lot of guys underestimate my Riz.
I could see it there. Casario wouldn't do it. Dana Brown wouldn't do it. No. Rafael Stone would drop a wrist.
None of the other two, or neither of the other two, and Pat Onstead. Those
of course,
three,
let's not forget about Pat Onstead.
I have serious doubts of them using any slang whatsoever.
When talking to the media or overall?
I mean, either overall or talking to the media. Any, like, relatively recent slang. Not even, like, super recent. I'm not even saying, like, I can't imagine Dana Brown, like,
what'd
after
he say?
A big game being like, you know, Minute Maid Park was lit.
Would he say dope? Oh, that was dope. Would he say that? That's not recent. Would you think Dana Brown gets off? Was a dope crowd last night?
No.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to hear it in his voice.
No chance.
He would say it's a great crowd. Fantastic, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Nick Casario. He wouldn't even answer the question if it was a great crowd. He'd just dance around it.
He'd be like, well, the people of Houston are very passionate.
Yeah.
That's how he would say it.
He would never just answer it yes or no. He would have to not ramble, but just not answer directly because that's kind of his style.
Just talk for 3.5 minutes.
I just asked you if the crowd was great, man. That's all I was asking about.
Well, the people of Houston are passionate. And our team really feeds off that passion. And we feel like the crowd also feeds off our passion. And that's something that's really changed a lot when we hired D'Amico Ryans and start winning games. And, you know, you see some of the guys out there, Jalen Petrie.
It's really a chicken or an egg thing.
It just keeps going.
The passion feeds passion, and the passion keeps feeding passion.
Christian Harris.
I see you there. I see that. I think we're going to go Rafael Stone, most likely to use slang when talking to anyone. Dana, would Nick?
I don't even know who's number two.
Yeah, it's probably a race to last. Yeah. We're going to use Pat Onstad because we don't know what he actually sounds like unless we're listening to Glenn Davis and Soccer Matters.
So the chances are. I know the other two, definitely not.
So we're going to take Pat as our
mystery door.
A guy named Pat as a guy who would most likely use slang as far as our ranking.
How old is Pat?
He's in probably his 50s now. He was playing with the Dynamo when they first got to town, and he was an older player then, I think. One of the best goalies in MLS history. Shout out to Pat Onstad, one of the guys who made Dynamo Soccer matter here in the city as a player, and he's trying to do it again as a executive. And the Dynamo have been pretty good, particularly last year, and they're off to a good start this year as well.
Still a lot of soccer.
Yeah, just season. Yeah, much like the baseball season, still a lot of season to go.
Look at the back of their soccer card.
Do they make soccer cards?
I realized once I got there that, like, I've never heard
I've never seen
before.
A soccer card before.
And I've just never heard that phrase, like, football card, basketball card, baseball card, soccer
even
card?
Hockey cards. I've never heard soccer card before, certainly not in this country. A guy whose baseball card isn't filled with a lot of stats made his debut yesterday. Forrest Whitley, you know, for what my expectations were of him, I wasn't surprised. He gave up a 2-run double, hit a guy in a walk. In a game where the hope was he would keep the Astros kind of in it after Dubin was good until he wasn't in the ninth inning, but that's been kind of the last couple games for the Astros. The ninth inning has been a disaster for their bullpen after being really strong as they're trying to bridge from the starter to their top guys. And Hader, unfortunately, was a top guy who pitched on Monday and was terrible, and Dubin, who was called up much like Whitley was to kind of supplement the injuries and the lack of bullpen arms, was fine until he wasn't. And then Whitley came in, you know, his family, they talked to him. They talked to them. I believe is it fiance, a girlfriend, and his dad. And, you know, they're excited about it. And why wouldn't they be? It's been a long, winding road for Forrest Whitley. And the name certainly is recognizable, even if we haven't watched him pitch a lot due to injuries and other things. But he was out there. He'll get another opportunity. Spencer Arrighetti was optioned because, well, he had to make room. And Verlander, that's the real news, honestly, that Verlander is expected to pitch on Friday against the Nationals. So the Astros are getting healthy in some regards. Fromber still playing. What was the tweet from Chandler Rome that you texted me? He's playing Fromber decided to play catch earlier than expected.
Light catch,
whatever the hell that means.
Never heard of that before.
If you missed the show earlier in the week, Sean and I were trying to figure out the levels.
The timeline.
For returning to actually being a major league pitcher from injury and being on the roster and being active. We know there's a light catch, there's some long toss, there's pitching there's you've got the bullpen sessions, you've got going against live batters. Fromber is in the very early stages, and light catch is apparently terminology. And I tried to figure out, is it he's throwing less pitches, or is he throwing, or he's throwing less balls, or is he throwing them at a slower speed?
Yeah, they're all like looping.
Yeah,
like there's he's not nothing, putting nothing's on a line. It's all like your throw to like a 9-year old.
Yes. So if you know what light catch means, when we talk about the level that a pitcher has to go to, and maybe this is the first stop on the way back to pitching for the Astros, what does light catch mean? You're baseball people, some of you out there, let us know. We are unaware. We just know that he's now functional enough to throw a baseball without everyone losing their minds.
Was this a Chandler Rome invention? I don't know. Because he was the one who tweeted.
Yes. Did he invent light catch?
Or is that like an official
I've never seen it used anywhere. I think that's a Chandler Rome joint.
I don't know how much lighter catch can be.
It feels like, particularly when you're a major league, when you're a professional baseball player, light catch is the smallest increment of growth can be when you're trying to determine, is this guy ready to play? Light catch.
It just feels just regular catch feels like the lowest you can go. It's like, how do you go lighter than throwing a ball and catching it?
Well, we found out.
There's something lighter.
Yeah. Is he throwing a tennis ball?
Oh, that's a good point.
Is he not throwing a regulation baseball?
That might be what it is.
Yeah.
Is that it's a light ball.
We'll see. But Fromber is on his way back from light catch to regular catch, and then we'll move forward. But there's someone more advanced in that process, Verlander. He should be back on Friday, so that's good news as the Astros try to find their way out of what has been a disappointing start to the year. We talked a little bit about the play-in. Well, we're going to hear from Charles Barkley. He was on the TNT broadcast, as you would expect, and he had some thoughts on Klay Thompson. We'll talk about the games yesterday, and we will get to some more Rocket Sound. There's still more to get to, because those guys, it's the final time we're going to hear from them throughout, probably until maybe the draft. I'm trying to think. When's the next time we're going to hear from Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka?
Probably post-draft, I would say. Maybe pre-draft and post-draft.
The workouts, they'll have guys in, because they have the Brooklyn pick. They don't have their own, I believe.
Likely the ninth pick.
Yeah, so we'll hear from them then. So this is the last time we're going to hear from the major players who constructed a Rockets roster who far exceeded expectations and were just a couple games out if they hadn't tricked them off from making the playoffs. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
That's the voice of Michael Carroll. He does all our imaging. He joins us every Friday for our What Should You Watch or What You Shouldn't Watch. He was strong in his opinion that you shouldn't watch the Good Times animated show on Netflix, and I followed his directions. I have not watched that.
Produced by Stephen Curry.
Yes, who
has more time to produce stuff now.
Maybe we'll have a more discerning eye with all this time off now that the Warriors are no longer involved in the NBA playoffs, as they got destroyed by the Kings. It was 54-50 at halftime. The Warriors put on a run to even get back in the game, and then the Kings took over in the third quarter, and really the fourth quarter was just a desperate attempt for the Warriors trying to find any way back in, and they got nothing. This was a Kings team who's been decimated by injuries on the perimeter. Malik Monk didn't play. Kevin Herter didn't play. Did not matter. The Warriors look old. They looked washed, and it may be just the end. And I don't want to say that's the Astros' fate this year, but that's one dynasty who feels like they're teetering as well. It's early. I know it's early. And the Warriors actually played really well in the back half of the year. It didn't matter last night, though. They got their doors blown off. But, Sean, don't we have some breaking news? Is that a Woj bomb? Is that what that is?
It is a Woj bomb.
What's the Woj bomb?
That Jontay Porter, Raptors forward Jontay Porter, has been banned for life.
If you don't know who Jonte Porter is, neither did the rest of us until like a couple weeks ago. He is he's the brother of Michael Porter Jr., a very prominent player in the NBA.
That might be how you know him.
A starter for the defending champion Denver Nuggets, who will play the Lakers. The Lakers got that done last night to beat the Pelicans, so they will face the Nuggets. But Jonte Porter, using was it FanDuel to he not only bet against himself, and by that I mean he bet the unders on himself and took part in games where he would leave the game suspiciously with a weird injury. He took the under on three-pointers and points and rebounds, and he found a way not to play a lot of minutes to secure those wins. And then he also bet on a lot of games that had nothing to do with him. So Jonte Porter banned for life. And Sean and I were trying to figure out, when's the last time a player has been banned for life? We've heard of indefinite suspensions that guys don't try to get reinstatement, and even if they did, we suspected the league wouldn't allow them. They would just deny the reinstatement. You mentioned Donald Sterling during a break, an owner who was banned for life, but a player, because of their actions, just an immediate, you're out of here. No chance of coming back. The one that came up I saw was Stanley Wilson. He was a running back for the Cincinnati Bengals. This is way back in the 80s. He was banned for life and for substance abuse. But this was about the integrity of the game, and the NBA can't have it. You can bet on the games. We will promote it if you don't play in the league. So people are trying to, hey, how could you be a league who is all in but get upset with your players? Well, it's pretty clear because the players betting on them or against themselves affects the integrity of the game, and that affects one of their business partners, and it's gambling. There are multiple people involved in that, but overall, the NBA is involved in sports betting, and you can't have players going in on affecting games because of their own gambling issues. So the NBA has decided to let it be known. We won't tolerate it. We won't even give you a two-year thing, and then you can try to get back in the league. You just got to go. And that's what happened to Jonte Porter.
Yeah, it's one of those where it feels like the first guy, kind of like Calvin Ridley in the NFL, where the first guy just has to get like popped super hard for this. Like, Calvin really got suspended for an entire season.
Yeah.
And no other guys have been suspended for gambling in the NFL, but they just have been given six. I think Jameson Williams was like eight games that got pushed down to four or something. Like, they have been lighter on everyone else.
And they haven't been proven to be betting
on themselves.
On themselves to
Against themselves.
Yeah, against themselves to play and play poorly and directly affect an outcome. So,
Calvin Ridley wasn't even playing, and he got suspended. Yeah. Like, he was out for the year.
The NFL wants nothing to do with their players being involved in gambling on the game, and Jonte Porter is just the first guy to cross a line that the NBA couldn't tolerate. Hey, gambling, maybe we would have shown a little leeway if you're betting on Raptors games and you weren't playing in them. We might find a way to keep you in, but the fact that you are directly contributing to negative outcomes and making money off them, you got to go. And as I said, it wasn't the only games he was betting on. He was betting a lot of money in on different things, but this in particular was where the NBA said they couldn't abide by it, and he had to go.
Do you think Ben Simmons bets on Nets games?
I don't think he cares enough about basketball to do that.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it's not the NBA offseason, but it's the Nets offseason and Ben Simmons' offseason. So I've already seen the pictures of Ben Simmons back in the lab.
Looks good.
People, is anyone ever going to learn? Why are we tweeting about Ben Simmons working out?
I think when everyone learned the lesson was between when he got traded from the Sixers to the Nets. That was like the last time where people were like, I don't know. He's playing with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. He just needs to, you know, move the ball, stand underneath the basket. And it's like, no, really can't even, not can't do that, but doesn't want to do that. Yeah. He'd rather just dribble horizontally around the perimeter and pass.
And then tell everyone he's him.
He is him.
He'll tell you that if you're not aware.
He was him.
And then talk about why he should start basketball games. Oh, I'm not a bench player. Well,
yeah. He'll get on a podcast with J.J. Redick.
And tell everyone why he should get a lot of minutes. The too long didn't too long didn't read version of the NBA communications that they sent out about why Jontay Porter has been banned indefinitely, or not indefinitely, just banned over forever. He disclosed confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes. So, as we said, it's pretty much the death blow for him was negatively contributing to a game that he was a part of and betting on it. They can't have it. He had to go. And Jontay Porter, the first guy I can remember as in a very long time to be outright banned from the sport he played in. Indefinite suspensions, I've seen it. O.J. Mayo got hit with the long suspension, but he could have asked for reinstatement. We know Josh Gordon, as many times as he was suspended, the NFL kept giving him opportunities to get back in it. Didn't work out for him. Jontay Porter won't have that opportunity. Luckily, he has a very rich, very successful brother who can take care of him if he so chooses.
Yes, yes. Also, Chris Birdman Anderson got suspended for life and then got reinstated after 2 years.
So he got hit with life and then found a way to get back in. Okay.
For drugs.
Yes.
A lot of these guys are drugs.
It's usually drugs. Gambling, we don't see a lot of it. And this is the reason why, because there's no way back when this happens. Eric, I'm sure that's Eric Wong. It's generally the Eric that calls us. He wants to talk about Forrest Willie. I'm sure it'll be a very, very sportsy call, and then it will lead to something else that I'll either ignore or acknowledge. We'll see. I'm just telling you right now, Eric, if it's about a female reporter from one of the local stations, you can ask a question. I just won't have a frame of reference because I don't watch the local news. And I'm not going to grade a woman that you think is attractive. It's not my bag. But you can try to get the question in. Before we go, though, I want to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing. And it's funny. I actually went up to my attic yesterday and took a look at the water heater and was like, oh, might be time for Aqueduct Plumbing. And that's a big thing. You go to aqueductplumbing.com. They are experienced contractors. You can see all the services they provide. And it goes beyond the repiping, which is what I talk about quite a bit. If you want to do preventative things to keep damage from occurring, they're the plumbing company for you. They are local, they are experienced, and they do great work. What more can you ask for? And it doesn't take you a couple days. They're not like the phone company or the cable company where you have to, in 3 days, between 7 and 7, they'll make it out there. You get with Billy's people, and that's Billy Brown, the owner of Aqueduct Plumbing Company. They'll get out to you as quickly as possible because we know water emergency, plumbing emergencies can really affect your home. You don't have time to wait. Aqueduct Plumbing Company understands that. They will get you squared away. If you want to call them, it's 281-488-6238. 281-488-6238. From repiping to replacing a water heater, from a leak that you want to take care of, whether it be something in your bathroom, your kitchen, or your laundry, Aqueduct Plumbing Company will take care of you. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. That's AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
John and Lance are out at the Chevron Championship. It's the practice round. They're out in the Woodlands, and I'm here because, well, logistically, it didn't make much sense for me to go out there. So we are, well, at least they are, and really the station is, we're friends of golf. And that means we're going to talk about golf quite a bit, at least when it comes up. And it's your turn. You can take the day off of work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN and 97.5 and 92.5, occasional invitational benefiting kids' meals. This year's tournament will take place Tuesdays, May 7th at 10:30 a.m. at Highland Pines Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carback Brewing Company, lunch, dinner from a Valencia's Tex-Mex Garage, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com under the promotions tab and use code EARLYBIRD for a $97.50 registration for a limited time. See what we did there? $97.50. So the occasional invitational, it's back Tuesday, May 7th at Highland Pines. So go register. You want to be a part of it? You know John's going to play as long as he's able. And Lance, if he hasn't broken anything, he might play too. We got a lot of golfers on this station. Me, I'll be there. I haven't swung a club ever, so good luck getting me out there. But you guys should go. It's always a fun time at the occasional Invitational. Eric wants to talk about Forrest Whitley, and I imagine other things. What's up, Eric?
Hey, now. So, how do y'all think Forrest Whitley did yesterday? Remember when Mad Max went into the stands and punched somebody? He only got a 2-game suspension. And also, are you going to see that new movie, Fall Guy? It looks pretty good. I'll hang up and listen. Great show, guys. Great show. Number one in Houston.
Bye. Thanks, Eric. He avoided his usual thing. So we appreciate that. I do remember Mad Max going into the stands. It's a different age, man. If he would have done that, you know, around the Malice in the Palace, it would have been more than 2 games. It's different. And as far as Forrest Whitley, I saw it. Everyone saw it. Well, at least the people who were watching the game. He didn't do great. He didn't do well. The 2-run double didn't help. Hitting a batter, walking a batter, that's not good. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else we would have expected. It would have been a great story if it was 3-up, 3-down. He shut down an inning. But why would we have expected that from Forrest Whitley? That hasn't been an expectation for him since, what, 2019? He's a guy who's been stuck in the minor leagues for various reasons for years now. Anyone expecting Forrest Whitley to come in and be shut down, well, I would say bring your expectations into the present. He was an arm brought up because the Astros had no other choice for the most part. And hopefully it's the start of a great story. I mean, I don't know if it'll be like Singleton where he hit a couple home runs and then he was secured as a major leaguer for the next year plus, which John Singleton has done despite some, let's be kind, uneven performances. Let's look at Sean. I didn't want to just come out and say the real.
They've been even.
They've been evenly trash is what you want me to say?
I don't want you to say it.
But it'd be correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, he's been consistent in one way.
Ever since that moment.
Yeah, but consistent isn't always good. And he hasn't been good despite the number of opportunities now two managers have given him. Maybe Forrest Whitley turns what happened last night into a major positive where he becomes someone the Astros can lean on to eat up an inning. Even when things are out of hand, he just comes in, gets his outs, and maybe that's his role going forward because they do need someone to do that at this point. But we'll see. He might be a guy who we see option down relatively quickly as arms get healthy. That'll be up to him. But we saw what happened. He was not good. And he matches what the Astros season has been. Not good as they continue to struggle. They'll try to avoid the sweep at the hands of the Braves today. That game begins at 1:10. I will say, if the Astros within 50 minutes have annoyed you or bored you and you want to get away, there is a sporting event going on in the middle of the afternoon that's pretty good. I watched a lot of it yesterday. Champions League is back. We're heading towards the semifinals. Two teams made their semifinal berths yesterday. At least they got it done yesterday. Borussia Dortmund, which is a German team, and PSG. Headed by Kylian Mbappe. Borussia Dortmund was at home. They beat Atletico Madrid. And PSG was down going into the second leg against Barcelona. Barcelona scores the first goal to go 4-2 over the course of the tie. And then they committed a cardinal sin. And one of their players talked about it because it was a denial of a goal scoring opportunity, which means a red card, and it changed the entire complexion of the match. They were up 4-2. Ilkay Gundogan, who's German, but used to play for Man City. He said, I would have rather given up a goal because at least we would have kept our 11th player. And maybe if we're up 4-3 in the tie, we can hang on. They lost the guy. They eventually went on to give up, what, 4 goals in the game? Kylian Mbappe scored a penalty that gave... Actually, he scored a penalty and another goal that put the game away for PSG, and the thing about it is he's a future Real Madrid player, so breaking the hearts of Barcelona is what he's going to be asked to do going forward, and he did it. So PSG makes it to a Champions League semifinal, Borussia Dortmund as well. They're one of the better clubs in Germany. They're not winning the title in the league this year. That'll go to Leverkusen, doing it for the first time ever. They're undefeated, haven't lost a match in the Bundesliga. So if the Astros do what they've done over the course of the first two games against the Braves and aren't scoring runs, and you want to watch some exciting soccer, Man City's out there. They're going to play today. Arsenal's going to play today. A couple of the bigger clubs in the world. So watch that. I'm not saying you must rush to watch soccer. I'm just giving you the option because I don't know how entertaining watching JP France pitch is going to be for anyone involved. So you have an option of a major sporting event to go focus on if the Astros ruin your are about to ruin your afternoon.
You have options.
I'm giving you something else to watch.
And it's Champions League
and soccer. It's European soccer. This is where we're at.
I'm sure they'll love that.
If you're looking for competition at its highest level, the best players in the world, I provided you an option. There's all.
No John Singletons, no Jose
Abreus. Jose Abreus on those rosters. You've got the best players in the world who deserve their spots. And sure, they may look bad against someone else, but that's because that player is one of the best players in the world. You're not watching Jose Abreu swing and miss on 88-mile-an-hour fastballs down the middle. What you won't see is one of your high-priced players working out with a former Man City player because he was the guy who recommended him being on the roster, like Jose Abreu is doing with Jeff Bagwell. You won't see that in the Champions League today.
No, not gonna see. I don't know. I can't name a Man City player.
Yeah, you're not gonna see
Yaya Toure.
It's a long time ago, Sean. It's a good pull.
No, he's the Jeff Bagwell.
Yes, you're not going to see Phil Foden working out with Yaya Toure because he's struggling. It's not going to happen. Phil Foden, really good English striker or winger, depending on what position he's playing for Man City. So I'm giving you an option. You don't have to lock in on the Astros. You can actually watch something good. Champions League, I always love it. Real Madrid, Man City today, and Bayern Munich and Arsenal, four of the biggest clubs in the world. Or you can watch Braves versus Astros in the middle of April.
Two of the biggest clubs in the world.
Sure. The Astros have been a dominant force, and the Braves have been good. So it's very comparable, except one means a chance to go win a European title. The other is, hey, yeah, we go play the Nationals after this on a getaway day.
One's like the Chelsea of the Premier League.
True.
Once proud franchise.
True.
I mean, now going through some rough times.
The Astros look more like Everton right now, to be honest with you.
Don't put that on us.
What have they looked like? What have they looked like? And to bring
mid-table,
it to
table, that's what they
to look bring like. It to football terms. They've been playing like the Arizona Cardinals.
They're not getting relegated, all right?
They're in last place in their division.
It's a trash division,
which makes it even worse. That well, doesn't help. That doesn't help your point.
They've only played the first place team. They haven't played the other trash.
They played the Royals.
They're good.
Partly because they beat up on the Astros. The Royals are still...
Look at them.
Yeah, they're 11-6, and how many of those games came from victories over the Astros?
Three of them.
Yeah, so quite a bit of their wins. A little under a third of their wins came against the Astros.
Check the back of some of their baseball cards.
I don't want to.
Check the back of Salvador Perez.
I'd rather say someone tricked off than check the back of baseball cards. If I'm going to
be... Astros have been tricking off.
Yes, if I'm going to be like a GM in this town, I'm going to be like Rafael Stone and say someone tricked off, not... Look at the back of their baseball cards. I'm sure that made everyone feel good in the ninth inning on Monday. Hey, Josh Hader, look at the back of his baseball card. Yeah, but what is he doing now? He's ruining the rest of my night. We got one more segment to go here. I'm just giving people options, man. Because even this show is questioning whether we can continue to put the Astros on the A block. Hopefully they win today. We can have something positive to talk about before they head off to play the Nationals. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
One final segment before Gallant and George are here. We talked a lot about the Astros and the Rockets. The news there is Rafael Stone signed a multi-year extension, being rewarded for building a roster who, if not for tricking off, might have made the play-in 41 wins for the Rockets, a big improvement. And he talked about not needing to answer the questions regarding Alpi and Jalen Green's contracts. That's not something that's urgent for them right now. They'll have discussions, but it's not something that they're really focused on. But before we go, I mentioned a college football story. It's Mario Cristobal getting paid like $23 million in 2022. Some of it is his salary. The other is the buyout that they had to give to Oregon. Like Mario owed Oregon like $14 million. And so what Miami paid Mario for a 5 and 7 year was like $22 plus million. What a great investment so far for that.
Not worth every penny.
No. When you back it up with the 7 and 5 season. But I mentioned that because I did want to get into this other college football thing. Now, this is probably dead in the water, mostly because the SEC and the Big Ten are like, why would we give up control? We get the college football playoff to give up concessions to keep us from saying, hey, you know what, we're going to start our own tournament. We're going to start our own playoff. So they're giving concessions to us. But there were rumblings in February of a committee getting together to try to start a 70-team Super League. We talked some Champions League in the last segment. That was something that was on the table now a couple of years ago for the Champions League about it being more of an invitational instead of something that is earned. Well, this would have been Caden Clark on Pat McAfee. It would have been a 70-team league divided by regions. So more closely aligned with what we've seen in traditional college football as opposed to what we see now, where SMU is in the ACC and so is Cal and Stanford, because that makes all the sense in the world. We don't need to make the jokes. We've all made them about why that sounds stupid. But it is what it is. It's the reality because people are trying to survive. Because
the Pac-12 is tricking on.
Sean has said he will say this 70 times over the course of the next couple of days and then ask himself, why does he keep saying
it? Yeah, this is for right now, it's just so funny.
Yes.
They're tricking off.
That there's an
George Kliavkov. You know, I was really tricking off.
If you don't know who that is, that's the Pac-12 commissioner.
Former,
yes. And one of the reasons why he's the former commissioner is because the Pac-12 no longer exists.
It's a former conference.
Yes, and he was one of the reasons for it. He was not ready for the changes that were going to come to college football. The Big Ten and the SEC certainly ahead of the curve. That's why they would never allow this to happen. But it was brought about by College Sports Tomorrow, which sounds fake, but it is real. They named themselves that. It was pushed by 20 executives across college football. They had a couple of educators, probably some more, but the only ones who wanted to attach their name were just two of them. G. Scott is one of them. I think he's at West Virginia. He talked about the presidents being too reactive to the changes in college football, and he wanted them to be more proactive. And one of the things he thought would be great was this 70-team league. And I don't want to get into the specifics of money because like I said, this is kind of dead in the water. So the money and how it would be divided is unlikely to even need to be discussed because it's not going to happen. But, Sean, this question was asked earlier on that show we will not name. Do you care about regionality in college sports? Because Texas was brought up because of their move to the SEC and the reason why that's appealing. This would pull back from it, and it would mean you would be playing all the Texas schools, and it'd be a regional thing, and you would have all these regional rivalries back. And the thought was people of your age and younger don't care about that anymore.
I care about it a little bit. I think that's the real answer, is that for the most part, there's like three, four teams. Actually, honestly, like two teams that you like actually care about being on your schedule every year. And then there's, the kind of secondary rivalries. And then other than that, I don't really care about, playing TCU. Like that, no offense to TCU.
A little offense. It's a little disrespectful. They'll take it as such.
Yeah, I just don't care.
You don't care.
Same thing with Baylor.
You don't care.
I don't care.
You don't care if they feel disrespected. You don't care about playing them. That's where we're at. Typical Texas.
Both. There's not. I don't know. Baylor has been good for 10 years. That's about it.
Yeah.
So for most of the history, it's just been, no different than playing just some other. Like playing Kansas, like current Kansas, or I guess 5 years ago Kansas.
Yeah, the current Kansas is
pretty feisty.
Is a little
but
better.
That's the thing with the Big 12, the way it was, is that like there also wasn't regionality. Like Texas went to Iowa State to play them.
What history was there before the Big 12 came about?
That's not that much different than them going to Florida. Well, like, that's not that much different.
Except it's better to go to Gainesville and the Swamp than it is to go to
Ames.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Des Moines for the Hawkeyes and Ames or Iowa City? Iowa City for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah. How dare you say that with Caitlin Clark on the TV right now?
Sorry. I just
patron saying
it. It didn't say Iowa City, Iowa on the jersey. It just said Iowa. Sorry.
Yeah, like Kansas State and playing them. It's like trading that for Georgia.
Yeah, it's a clear upgrade.
And it's just as far. Like, I've never met a Kansas State grad. Like, I just have never done that.
Well, they're all junior college guys anyway. That's just a reference to Bill Snyder and what he used to do. He built the program of junior college kids and did it really, really well. Now we go through the portal. It would be called the Southwest. I don't know if they call it a Southwest division. And you'd have the likes of Arkansas. You mentioned Baylor, who you don't care about. Houston, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, SMU, TCU, another team you don't care about, A&M, and Tech. So out of those teams I mentioned, I know I read it pretty fast. Besides Oklahoma, is there another team that you care about? A&M, probably?
Yeah.
And that's about it?
As far as, like, kind of gotta have it, you know? Arkansas is fun to play. Texas Tech's, you know, fun every once in a while to play. Houston, I mean, again, they've played once in my life in football, so...
Yeah. There's nothing there for you.
I don't treat that as a rivalry lost. It's just...
There's historically reasons for Houston to dislike Texas, and we don't need to get into all the politics of it. But yeah, as far as just a sports fan, there's nothing there between the two teams over the last 25 years.
There's the game they played last October.
Yeah, which would say the Big 12 refs. Why they would screw Houston when Texas was leaving? I don't know, but it appeared to happen.
I don't know.
It was a first down, Sean. It was a first down.
We don't know. Inconclusive. They didn't even review it, but it was inconclusive.
Inconclusive because they didn't review it. Yes, you are correct. So I would agree. I'm a little bit older than you. I'm a traditionalist in some ways. I would love to see it be more locale based, but I can't fault anyone who doesn't care.
And doing the local base, yeah, you have to go back to the 1988. Southwest Conference. Like, you have to go back, like, so far at this point. Maybe that's why young people care about it less. But, I mean, you're a Miami fan. Like, half the ACC is in the Northwest or Northeast.
Yeah, in a lot of teams. Well, some of it is some Big East stuff, so I remember some of that. But, yeah, I couldn't care less if they never played Virginia again.
Yeah.
Do you care
about Boston College?
I don't. I mean, there's a memorable moment between the two. You have, obviously, the Doug Flutie thing from way back, and then the only Miami people will probably remember it, the deflection, the Ed Reed strip of his own player to run it in for a touchdown during their title year. That's really mostly a Miami thing. I don't know how many people other than Miami people know about that. But, no, I don't care about Boston College too much. I mean, Miami's playing Florida this year at a conference. They play Florida State every year. So that stuff would continue in this new league.
Do you want to play USF for who's really South Florida?
They're in Tampa, so not even South Florida. No.
Do you want to play UCF?
No, I don't care. But they would be in this league. To your point, this league is mostly about regionality and bringing college sports back to that. But as far as intrigue and matchups, who cares?
Yeah, Georgia's close to Florida. Does Miami and Georgia, like, would that game mean something to you other than
playing Georgia?
It's a big matchup. Yeah.
No, there's nothing there. But
South Carolina?
But they wouldn't even be in the same division. South Carolina would, but Georgia wouldn't. Georgia would be in the South. Miami would be in the Southeast. You can find it. If you type in 70-team Super League, you can find how it's all broken down. And most of it is, hey, you guys are close as far as miles apart. We'll put you in the same.
Just drawing circles around team logos.
You're in the mile radius we're looking for. We'll put you in the same league. Not going to happen. Conferences and super conferences will continue to be a thing. A super league, unlikely. There's too much money involved in the other thing for this thing to occur. We are done for the day. Well, Sean isn't. He'll be here producing.
Never am ready for the day when you say it.
It's always a reminder. You still got more work to do. Highway Cantina is where the rest of the lineup will be, starting with Gallant and George, and then they'll be followed by the Killer Bees. Stay tuned to the lineup. They'll get you through. And maybe by the time Gallant and George are over, the Astros will at least be in the lead. We'll see. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.